Great. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 1. You can find that on page 1063. John chapter 1. Great. Starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Great. Let me pray before I begin. Father God, we praise you that you speak to your people through your word. Thank you now for this most important time where we listen to you speak. Please help me to teach your word clearly and faithfully, and that we would be attentive. We pray that you would change us by your Spirit to know and trust you more as we listen to you speak through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to New Life Church Catford, especially if you're a visitor amongst us today. My name is Thomas. I'm one of the members of the congregation here. Today's our first Advent service, which means it's close to 4 weeks to Christmas. It's very exciting. I don't know who's already put the Christmas trees up already. So we're going to begin our Christmas series today, Christmas according to the different Gospels. And today is Christmas according to John. Now, I love John's Gospel. John, the author of the Gospel, was one of Jesus' best friends. He knew Jesus very well. And you can feel how close he was to Jesus when you read his Gospel. It's very personal and intimate. John starts his Gospel with a prologue, which is different from the traditional Christmas nativity narratives that we might be familiar with. And today we're going to see three things. First, something incredible. Then something shocking. And then something wonderful. But let's begin with something incredible. Let me just find the correct slide. There we go. Something incredible. The Word is God become flesh. In the beginning, John starts his book with these famous words, "In the beginning." Now, maybe you know it well, or maybe you're familiar with it, but you're not quite sure where exactly. In the beginning are the epic first words of the Bible. We heard them read out in our first reading in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, John deliberately wants to cast our minds back to the God who created the universe. It's epic. So John starts his book in the beginning, but it's different. This is new. It's not the same. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. John wants to tell us about this Word. This Word is distinct from God, yet the Word is God. And we know that the Word is God because the Word is the Creator. Look at verse 3. Through the Word, all things were made. Without the Word, nothing was made that has been made. And isn't it so clever of John to say Word? It is, in fact, how God creates in Genesis 1, by speaking by Word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God creates with His Word. It is the Word that creates. The Word is God. The Word is also light. Look at verse 4. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. My wife Jenny and I went to Cyprus on our honeymoon, and we arrived at the hotel late at night, and because it was late, you couldn't see anything. It was dark. There just wasn't anything to see. We had the sense that we were close to the ocean. We could hear the waves, but you couldn't see anything. Just blackness. The next morning, the room is still very dark because of the curtains, but when we drew the curtains, a flood of light enters the room, and you can see everything inside the room. We could also look out the window, and we could see everything that was previously hidden by the darkness. A stunning, picturesque view of the beach. I remember another time, when light revealed something less pleasant. I was backpacking as a student in Argentina. My friend and I were going to stay in a really cheap motel. We went into the room and I put a key in and opened the door. As I opened the door, I could see a table, a white plastic garden table inside the room. And on it must have been maybe 7, 10, maybe 15 cockroaches. And as the light entered the room, the cockroaches scurried away to hide. My friend was totally nonchalant, totally cool and casual. He sat down in the bed next to the table, took off his cap, and put it on the table. I was totally disgusted. And when you switched the lights off, you couldn't see where the roaches were. It was the worst night of sleep I'd ever had. You see, when you have light, you can see everything, because light illuminates the view, the room. Light reveals what is hidden by darkness, the beach, the roaches. Light chases away the darkness. You cannot have darkness in the presence of light. And that's what the Word does. The Word is light to mankind. The Word illuminates and reveals what is hidden. It reveals the radiance of God's glory. It also exposes the ugliness of this world. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is telling us that the Word was actually the source of that life for which mankind was created. However, when we get to verse 5, there's a shift. Darkness is a new reality to contend with. But we see that the light has not been snuffed out. In fact, God's revelation is always breaking in. And it does so decisively in what we see next. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. This is the bombshell. Verse 14. The Word became flesh. This is incredible. This is the incarnation of the Word. We're becoming flesh. That's what incarnation means. Now, I don't know about you, but I have this habit of skim reading. I do this all the time on my smartphone. I read something, I get the gist of it, I'm pulling out some of the ideas without getting lost in the details. You don't want to do that, get lost in the details. However, if we do that here, we're in danger of missing out how incredible this is. The Word, who is infinite, with God in the beginning before time, who is Himself the Creator God, who created everything we know, everyone we've ever known, the Word who gives life, who created life, sustains life. You are living and breathing here today because of the Word. That infinite Word became finite flesh. It's incredible. The Word is the light that illuminates and reveals. And He does so most perfectly by becoming flesh. A physical, tangible human being. And we know about it because there are witnesses. Look at verse 14 again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John, the author of this gospel, is among those who claim to be eyewitnesses of this word. Verse 14 again. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There is another witness, another John, not the author, but John, later known as the Baptist. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, that through John all might believe. And again in verse 15, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one that I spoke about." You see, John the Baptist's role was to be the one who would identify the Word. And that's what he does. This is a big moment. John identifies the Word in verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word God become flesh. This is Christmas. The celebration of the incarnation of the Word become flesh, Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He does what the Word does. He reveals God to us. Verse 18. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. Jesus has made him known. We see this in Jesus' life when he was on earth. He was amazing. Jesus taught with power and authority. He was the most kind, most compassionate person ever. He performed the most wonderful signs, turning water into wine, healing people left, right, and center. He was raising the dead to life, calming the storm, feeding thousands of people, walking on water. Jesus is amazing. Sadly, it's often the case that we lose sight of this so easily. Ironically, especially at Christmas, with all the glitz and the Christmas trees, Santa and his elves, with the food, the family, the fun, we can get distracted from seeing something incredible. Now, I wonder what you'll be celebrating this Christmas. Is it the food or the time off work? Will it be the presents, or is it this incredible event in history? Incredible. The Word is God become flesh. Now time for something shocking. The world rejects the Word. The world rejects the Word. Look at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. What? Really? The creator of the world, the one who created everything, becomes flesh, revealing himself to his creation. And they don't recognize him? This is bad. Look on in verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It goes from bad to worse. Jesus came to his creation, the people he created, and instead of being accepted, he was reviled. Instead of being celebrated, he was accused. Instead of being worshipped, he was executed. Cristiano Ronaldo, the 5-time winner of the World Football Player of the Year Award, is a big deal in football. You may have seen a video a few years back when he appeared dressed up as an old man in the middle of a busy square in Madrid doing some football tricks. There he is. He's got a dog, he's got his beard, and he's got bucks busking for some money. People largely walk past him. A few people here or there, they're being polite, they kick the ball back to him. It's nearly an hour later when he starts playing with a child. And at the end, he picks up the ball, he signs it, he gives it to the boy. And there's the big reveal. He takes off the beard. And then there's a swarm of people who gather around him. And he has to get out of there. At the time, Ronaldo was the star of Real Madrid. In central Madrid, people didn't pay any notice of him. They didn't recognize him. And it's a bit of a fun surprise, isn't it? But here in John, isn't it shocking that the creator of the world isn't recognized? Isn't it shocking that the one who sustains life isn't received? Jesus, the Word become flesh, came to his own, but wasn't received. What's it like today? Well, today it's not hard to see that Jesus is brushed aside by society at large as being irrelevant. I wonder who's seen the this year's John Lewis Christmas television advert. It's called Elton John Lewis. Clever. It celebrates the life and achievements of Elton John. Here we go. Well, what does Elton John have to do with Christmas? Shouldn't Christmas start with Christ? Rather than celebrate the achievements of Elton John, wouldn't it be more appropriate to celebrate those of Jesus? The slogan is, some gifts are more than just a gift, focusing on these created gifts, rather than the Creator who gives us the gift of life. See what I did there? That's what they should have done. But the world naturally rejects its maker. The thing is that we can talk about society at large, but the reality is that we are part of that world that rejects its maker. Brushing aside Jesus as irrelevant is rebellion against God. Some people might say, well, I'm not rebelling against Jesus. I have nothing against Jesus. The problem is the evidence of our lives doesn't suggest that's true. Naturally, we live for ourselves. We do what we want to do because we want to do it. What's best for me and my family and my priorities, not how does Jesus want me to live or how can I most honor God with my time, my money, my relationships. The Bible talks about us, the world, being by nature very hostile towards God. Listen to what John says in John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I'll live my life my own way, thank you very much. John says that's evil, and he's right. Brushing aside Jesus, our Creator, as irrelevant to our lives, is extremely offensive to God. If Jesus is the Word become flesh. So I wonder, do you love the darkness rather than the light? Would you rather that Jesus stays a peripheral figure to your life so that you can stay hidden in the darkness? How much attention will we pay to Jesus this Christmas? But not just this Christmas, our lives. If Jesus is the Word God become flesh, then it's shocking. It's shocking that the world rejects the Word. Now it's time for something wonderful. Those who believe in the Word become children of God. Those who believe in the Word become children of God. You might feel despair following that last point, but there is hope. In fact, the whole of the passage hinges on this central point. You may have noticed that we've been working our way from outside in. Comes down to this verse 12. Have a look with me. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. children of God. It means being part of God's family, being part of God's people, being with God, not against God. This is the complete opposite to what we deserve for rejecting Jesus. How does it happen? Well, becoming part of God's people works differently from what we would normally expect. Normally, I'm in my parents' family. My children are in my family. We're direct descendants. Normally, when you get married, you marry into the family. My wife Jenny is a Quinn because of our marriage. She's married into my family. But not with God's family. Look at verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Becoming part of God's family is fundamentally different. John says that the way for God to include you in his family is to receive and believe in Jesus. Look at verse 12 again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Which means accepting Jesus as the Word become flesh. It means believing Jesus is your God who came to rescue you from the darkness of being separated from God. Last month marked the 100-year anniversary of the end of World War I. And I don't know about you, but I was reminded about the lives lost in the wars fought against tyranny, fought so that we could live in freedom. There were nearly 20 million people who died in World War I, 60 million people in World War II. It was a huge sacrifice by many individuals giving their lives. Sacrifices made by their families in losing loved ones. Sacrifices made by countries in sending so many of their finest to die in battle. To secure the freedoms that we enjoy today. It was a great sacrifice. Their lives for our freedom. In some sense, their sacrifice is a picture of an even greater sacrifice. That of Jesus. At Christmas, we celebrate that the Word became flesh as a baby. But we know that later that baby would grow to be a man who would be nailed to die on a Roman cross. Word became flesh so that as flesh he could die. His death was not a meaningless mistake, but a deliberate rescue plan. A sacrifice for the world. His death on the cross took on him the punishment that we, the world, deserves for our rebellion against him, our Maker. So if you receive Jesus as the Word become flesh and believe in his death on the cross was taking the punishment that we deserve in our place, then we can be forgiven. Forgiven for our rebellion against him, our brushing aside Jesus from our lives and living without him. If we receive Jesus as our Creator God and believe in his death on the cross was in our place, then we are no longer rebellion against God, but we have become children of God. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful that those who believe in the Word become children of God. Now we're coming to the end. Let me just remind you what we've seen. First, we've seen something incredible. The Word is God become flesh. Is that what you'll be celebrating this Christmas? Second, something shocking. The world rejects the Word. How much attention do we pay Jesus in our lives? And lastly, something wonderful. That those who believe in the Word can become children of God. Isn't that the most wonderful thing? That we can be part of God's family. Maybe you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian here today. I wonder if you've had the opportunity as an adult to examine the evidence. Why not take a gospel, one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, from one of his closest followers, and read it this Christmas. Examine the evidence yourself, critically. The evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus is what convinced me when I became a Christian 18 years ago. And it still convinces me today. Why not pick up Luke's Gospel? We have it in the back there. It's an account of Jesus' life, and read the evidence for yourself. Perhaps you would like to make a commitment to Jesus today. And please speak to me, Zim, or Remy at the end of the service, and we can talk you through that commitment. But now let me pray.